an invitation to commitment. I don't try to, in pastoring and preaching, I don't try to get a message for the congregation. I get a message from my daily and my weekly studying God's Word. And I have found to me when I do that, it gets difficult sometimes. I have found when I do that, it's not depending upon me. It's upon God's Word and what God said. And so that's why I stand and where I stand today with this message, an invitation to commitment. I know if you've heard me several times before, I've constantly talked about that word commitment, because it's very important. The Bible is a book of invitations. Beginning here in the 6th and 7th chapter of Genesis, until the very last book of the Bible, God is inviting us to come to Him. God is involved in the business of inviting people to come to Him for salvation. For the help that we need and for the things that we like in life, salvation will get us those things. And for me personally, it thrills me down to the end of my toenails to know that God Himself would thank enough of me, the Lord of glory, to invite me to come to Him. As wicked as I am, as sinful as I am, as unpleasant to look at as I am, as hard to get along with as I am, He still invites me to come to Him. As the Lord lead me today with this message, I'm going to invite you to a commitment that's found in the Bible in the passage that we ask you to look at. I hope it will help you. I pray that it will challenge you, and I pray that it will bless you in your life. This word, come, is used in the Bible somewhere almost 2,000 times. But in verse in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, is the first time that it is used as a command and an invitation. Here God calls Noah and his family to come into the ark so that they might be saved from the flood of water that He is about to send upon the earth. Even though this invitation was given over thousands of years ago, it is still good today. God is still inviting us to enter into the ark of safety. Would you like to take this invitation and show that it still works and stands today? I would also like to show you that this invitation will do you no good unless you accept it and come in. Come in. Come in. Before Noah and his family could be saved, they had to commit themselves to accepting the Lord's invitation to enter the ark. If you and I are going to be saved, then we have to commit to accepting the invitation as well. If God is calling you into the ark, You should heed his call and come today. Because when he heeds you and asks you to come, he's calling you because he has a blessing for you. In this message today, we just have 3 points. And I tell you, I think I got 9 or 10 pages. So I hope you don't leave me. Point number one, the sanctuary of this invitation. A sanctuary is a place of safety. The ark must have been an unusual sight as it sat there in ancient Mesopotamia. It was a wooden box. It was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. I got out there this morning and 450 feet is a football field and a half. And having tried to coach football, I can step off just about close to a yard. I stood up by those lines that they have running across Martin Luther. I walked 150 steps down the road. It's down right past the old Perkins house. That's how far it is down, approximately that far. Then I come back and I stood there by the mailbox. And it's 75 feet wide. I stepped 25 steps. And that's down there just about a little on the other side of this building. That's how wide the box was. Then they said it's 45 feet high. From that same place, I stepped off to about the third tree that's out there in the front. It would be that high. That was an awesome sight to behold. For number one, nobody had ever seen one of them before. And this man was out there building this ark. We read to you where God told him to come in. And if you look at verse 22 in chapter 6, it tells you something. It said, thus did Noah, according to all that God had commanded him to do. Between verse 22 of chapter 6 and verse 1 of chapter 7 is 120 years. Noah, God instructed Noah to build an ark. Noah got busy building an ark. And in chapter 7, verse 1, Noah had finished the ark. God told him what to do, and Noah got busy doing what thus saith the Lord. And he built that ark for 120 years. Noah had worked on the ark and has preached his message that a torrential rain and a terrible flood was coming upon the earth. Surely people thought Noah and his family were mad. And don't you think hard of Noah and his family. If you start telling people about this God that you serve, they're going to think you crazy and half mad too. And if Chattahoochee was still open, they probably would try to take you down there. But you got to understand that you are an unusual character. You are just as abnormal as Noah was in his day. But still Noah labored and told his neighbors that they needed to come into the ark when it was finished if they wanted to be saved. Some people are not going to want to be saved. But your job is not to make them be saved. Your job is to tell them what thus saith the Lord God Almighty.
And when you tell them you have done what you are supposed to do, he told them over and over that the ark that he was building was their only hope that they had in order to be saved. You got to tell people that if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when the flood comes, help me, Holy Ghost, you can't get in. His neighbors may have thought he was insane, and the ark that he was constructing must have looked out of place. You are just like that ark. If you start telling people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, you will be out of place because they are not going to want to believe it. You're sitting out there out of place and sitting in the middle of nowhere, and they had not seen rain at the time. And here this man is talking about there's going to be a flood. The only hope that the world has is to get in this ark. And you do know the ark is Jesus Christ. The ark was to be a sanctuary against the storm of wrath that was brewing against the sin and evil found in the earth. As God looked upon the earth, he saw some things that disturbed him greatly. This is why I ask you to go back and read chapter 6. Some of the things God saw was intermarriage between the godly line of Seth and the ungodly offsprings of Cain. See, God don't want his people mixing up. See, the devil was trying to mess up the bloodline of Jesus Christ, and it had to be a pure line. That's what God meant when he said Noah was perfect. Noah's family, his immediate family, had not been polluted by outside sources, meaning that they had only married within the Jewish family. God had to set a line. Yes, sir. I know. Now we want to, we trying to get to the place where we accept any and everybody in any and every kind of way that they want to be. But God got a pure line, a pure bloodline. And you have to accept Jesus Christ above anything or anybody else. If you don't do that, you have not accepted him. Noah's bloodline was yet pure. God saw the wickedness of man, and he knew that man was hopelessly corrupt. Every desire within mankind drew him farther and farther away from God and closer to evil. And God did not like what he was looking at. God looked at man and saw that man had reviled the earth, meaning that he had polluted the earth. Man was unjust and violent. Man had abandoned the ways of God. At one time, there was only one way, and that was God's way, until Adam sinned. And then there became two ways. You can't get to God two ways, only one way. God's solution then is to destroy mankind. The Bible tells us that one man among all the men of the earth was still walking in the ways of the Lord. God extended his grace to Noah. We are told that Noah was just. And this does not mean he was sinless. One word. He was not sinless. He might have sinned less, two words, but he was not sinless, meaning that he had sinned, but he walked with God. Is there anybody in here that haven't sinned, but you sin less now than you did before you got saved? You don't intend to sin. Noah was in that same boat, but Noah was walking with God. Then God did for Noah what he's done for us. He extended his grace to Noah. We are told that Noah was just, and I told you he doesn't mean he was sinless, but it is that he had his faith and his trust was in Lord God Almighty. And God counted him righteous on the base of that faith. That's the way it's always been, and that's the way it will always be. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, we are told that Abraham believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him for righteousness. The big word that they use is imputation, meaning God imputed the faith of Abraham to him because he had faith. My sin, when Jesus died on the cross, when I believe in Jesus, God takes my sin and put them on Jesus because he died for my sin. He did the same thing for Noah. He'll do the same thing for you, but you got to make a commitment.
That's it.
That ark, let me talk to you a few minutes about the ark, if you will. It had substances in it. It was made out of gopher wood. Gopher wood or cypress are almost indestructible. That's why sometimes you see cypress knees sold by the side of the road. They just about will not decay. And that's what that shows us the humanity that was in Jesus Christ and the humanity that's in the Bible. The wood pictures the humanity of Jesus. It was made out of wood. But then, this is what I don't want you to miss. In order to make the ark, the trees had to be cut down. I'm not lost. I'm marinating you. Jesus Christ, before I could be saved, he had to be cut down, meaning he had to go to Calvary. The trees had to be cut down so they could be made into what it was need. And then when they made it, it did something else. It gave me a security. The ark was built and it was covered. The word they use is with pitch. The word they use for pitch is used in the Bible almost 100 times, and every time it means a covering, the atonement. The wood that the ark was built out of, if it would not have been pitched inside and out, the water would have gotten through, but the pitch. Help me, Holy Ghost. Here he is, y'all. Jesus Christ, written all over. His shed blood covers every sin that you've ever committed. Because if you make the commitment to him, his blood covers you. And then you look at the size of it. I told you about how long it was and how wide it was and how high it was. It's the size of it and the shape of it. You cannot get from out from under the covering of Jesus Christ. He's so big, you can't go around him. He's so wide, you can't get over. He's everything that you need. You can't, if whatever you need, he got it. Somebody said that some of these real experts that don't want to believe it said, how could all of those animals get inside of that ark? I have to confess, I don't know. But the Bible said, and that's enough. I don't know where the earth come from, but I'm not going to dispute it not existing. I see it. I don't see your brain, but I believe you got one. There's some things we don't see that we ought to just know it's there because we believe that it's there. The size of it is big enough to cover it. Somebody gave a lot of numbers that they said could have been in there, but I didn't even take time to look at that, because if God said it, that's enough. And then his shape, it was not shaped like most boats are shaped. Say it was shaped like an old-fashioned casket. Just looked just like a wooden box. You know what a wooden box and a casket symbolizes, don't you? Death. The size and the shape of it represented death. And when Noah got in the ark, he was dead to the world, but he was saved. See, a lot of people, a lot of your buddies that see you now, yeah, you dead, because you don't do like you used to do, like they are still doing. You don't do that, so to them you don't exist. And people and things that do not exist are dead. So the shape of it let him know that he was in a casket. Then his structure. I like this part about it because it says there's one door, one window, and three floors. one door, one window, and three floors. Ain't but one way to get to God. Jesus Christ. And he said it somewhere, didn't he? I am the door. You, if you don't come in through this way, you can't come. One door, one window. And in order to see the window, you got to look up. I look up to the hills from whence cometh all of my help. You need to look up to God because he is your Lord and Savior. And there's three floors. That means when you are saved, all of you are saved. Body, spirit, and soul. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. He saves us because of who he is. He doesn't half save you. He doesn't just save your mind. He doesn't just save your soul. He doesn't just save your body. He'll save all of you or none of you. You have to give him your whole life, your whole self. That's the structure of it. So he saves us all that way. And then it sustains. Noah was saved by the ship. He was also satisfied in the ship. When God saves you, there's nothing else that you need. Everything you need is on the inside of the ark. He told Noah, if you go back and read chapter 6 and 7, he said, get you some food and put it in here. Take the animals in, the unclean, a male and a female. Of the unclean, of the clean, take 7 of each kind. You got to have something to eat. He had everything that he needed was within that, what was within the ark. There was nothing he needed outside of the ark. Everything he needed was there. If you need food, God is your food. If you get thirsty, he'll be your water. He'll be the living water, the water that'll come up on the inside of you, that bubble up on the inside of you. He said it's like rivers of water that bubbles up on the inside of you. You got to know that it's an invitation and you need to be committed to the invitation. And then God got a schedule that you need to be on. The ark came to rest on the 17th day of the 7th month of the Hebrew calendar. This is important because the 7th month is when the Passover was to take place. Jesus died and they were offering the Passover offering on the 14th day of the month. But then he stayed in the grave for 3 days and on the 17th day of the month he rose again. So you see, everything God does has a pattern in a way. The ark rested on the same day that Jesus was raised again from the day, the dead. What you saying? Like God got a schedule that you're on to. There's a certain time that you're going to be saved. You're going to be saved and you're going to be saved. And people ain't going to believe you're saved, but you know you're saved. And you're trusting in a God that'll do what he said. If you listen to him, he'll do what he said in his word. Thank you, Lord. I got my help now. Then there's a supply. Noah's name means rest. When Noah entered into the ark, he found rest and he was satisfied and he was secured because he had obeyed the word of God. When you listen to God and you do what he said, might seem contrary to you, but just follow him. Say, Lord, I'm trusting in you and I'm leaning and depending on you. Doesn't seem like it's right. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trusting in you. When you trust in him, everything will be all right. Well, somebody said that was then and this is now. There's still a place of a sanctuary. You see, the ark, the Noah build was a real boat, but it's also a picture of Jesus the Christ. The ark serves to let us know that if we get in Jesus, everything will be all right. I got a question for you. Have you entered the ark of the sanctuary? Are you saved from the wrath that's coming upon the earth? There's only one place of safety, and that's Jesus Christ. That's within the ark. Point number 2, the sovereignty of the invitation, meaning the authority of the invitation. The ark was not Noah's idea. It was God's idea. If God had not spoken to Noah, he would have died in the flood. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 tells us, but Noah found found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That one word that's in there makes a difference in Noah's life. He found grace in the eyes of God. Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Lord, I thank you for what you've done. Noah was maintaining the way that the Lord would have him to live in a wicked day and at a wicked time and with a wicked people. But Noah walked as God would have him to walk, and he found grace in the eyesight of God. It means his bloodline was pure. I told you that before, but that's real important. The bloodline was pure. The devil wanted to pollute the line because he didn't want Jesus to come. I believe, I don't know this for sure, but I believe he remembered that verse back over there in Genesis 3:15 or 16:1 when he said the seed of a woman is coming. It's going to step on your head. I just believe that's why he wanted to pollute the line. You heard me tell you that the children of Cain and Seth had beginning to mix and breed. The children of Cain were sinful children, and the bloodline would have been polluted. But God had a way. He got just one man, and that one man saved the world. He died. He came, and God fixed him so he could take a bloodline, and it would be pure. If you're in the ark of salvation today, that's because God dispensed his grace towards you. Grace, God's mercy at Christ's expense. God gonna bless you if you live in, if you let him take you in, if you allow his grace to come upon you, he will save you and provide a way for you to escape. Listen, God's grace, his mercy, and his love draws you to himself. You are saved because look, God, look beyond your dead, darkened, deceived, and doomed condition. And he reached out his hand in grace, said he's a sinner, but he's trying to walk the way I would have him to walk. And he reached way down and picked up sinner man and sinner woman, all that would receive him. There's somebody that you know that don't think you ought to be saved, but God saw you and he dispensed his grace towards you. I know God's all right. We will never know the wrath of God or hell that awaits the sinner unless God shows us his grace to us. We won't know it, but when God shows us his grace, it takes us away from it. If he would not show us his grace, in hell we would be. But because of the grace of God, he saves us because we receive his grace. Come to the lost sinner. If it had not been for the grace of God, Noah would have died in his sins, and in hell he would have been. And don't you think harder, Brother Noah. If you don't receive him in hell, you will be, because it's his word. Point number three, the security of the invitation. When God called Noah, Noah heeded the Lord's voice. He entered the ark, and after he entered the ark, he found safety and security. We are told that when it come time for the flood to come, God himself shut the door. Help me, Holy Ghost. God himself shut the door. Didn't send Gabriel, Michael, or none of the other archangels. God shut him in. And somebody said, and I truly believe it, that if God doesn't, can't nobody undo it but God. God shut the door. Listen, and God did not tell Noah to go into the ark. God said, and I don't want you to miss this, he said, come into the ark. There's a very distinct difference in saying go into the ark and come into the ark. If I tell you to go, you're going to go. If I tell you to come, you're going to come. I just believe when God said come into the ark, I just believe God was on the inside of the ark. And God was telling him to come where I am. That's where I am. There's safety and there's peace. Y'all have to excuse me now. I got to get away from the notes because it's personal right now. When God says come, doesn't matter what happening outside of you, all around you, it does not matter. But if God says come, he's saying you are my child and I need you to come where I am. That where I am, there's peace and there's security. And sometimes when God tells you to come, you don't want to come. You want to stay right where you are because you're comfortable where you are and you have gotten used to being in all of your mess. You're saying, God, I'm all right right here. But he still looks at you and says, come. He says, come. And in order to come to God, you got to leave from where you are. And I'm talking about a spiritual leaving, not talking about a physical leaving. You got to leave from where you are in the spirit, and you got to come to him where he is, because when you come to God, there's safety and there's peace and there's security when you are with God. Nothing is wrong, cannot be in the presence of God. He told Noah, said, Noah, come. He said, and when you come, bring your family with you and bring their wives and come on in. You don't have to worry about shutting the door. I will shut the door. And if I shut the door, I will open the door. You have to excuse me. I can just see people. When the flood came, it rained for a long time, and the flood came. I just believe before the boat, the ark went in float, there were some people trying to get in. But it's too late. You got to come while he said come. You got to come while it is yet day. You got to come when you're in your right mind. You got to come when you are inhaling and exhaling. There are some people that I believe that have died and gone away from here. If they had a chance, they would come to Christ. But it's too late. After you have drawn your last breath, it's too late to come. You got to come when he says come. And when he says come, you are able to hear him when he said, a dead man can't hear God when he calls him, and because he calls him through men. When a man or a woman is preaching the word of God and it touches your heart and it pricks your heart and you see your own self, you see the sins of yourself, and you see if you die in hell, you lift up your eyes. That's your time to come. When God says come, he's calling you because he has dispensed his grace towards you to save your soul. God wants you saved because that's why he allowed his son to come down through 42 generations and be born of a virgin and walk around down here on this earth. That's God's grace. That's the incarnation of God. He lets you look at his son and see himself in his son when he came down here to live. He didn't come to stay. He came to die. Somebody said when he was birthed, he was on his way to the graveyard or to the cross for the sins of men, women, boys, and girls. There is security in this invitation. When he says come, you just come. Don't know where I'm going, but he said come. I'm trusting in the one that called me and told me to come. I'm trusting in him. I don't know where he's going. going to take me, but I'm trusting in him enough to know that where he's going to take me is where I want to be. You have to come, because until he said that he would seal us. When he closed that door, he sealed it. And he said, those that believe in him will be sealed until the day of redemption. When the day of redemption, the seal will be broken. What Christ sealed, can't nobody unseal it. It's like sealing a jar of fruit. When you first can it, you seal it, and nobody can break the seal but the owner of it. God is the owner of my soul. When it's time for the seal to be broken, this old life will be over. This body, this dirt, will go back to the dirt, and the spirit will go back to the one that gave it, and God gave it. How do you know, Baggett? I remember reading somewhere in the Bible, in Genesis, it said he breathed into the nostrils of man and he became a living soul. God's all right, y'all. Body may be aching with pain, but God's all right. The pain can go away. But God, I don't want you to leave me. If you leave me, I can't make it. I can't make it. But if you stay with me, everything will be all right. And I know you won't leave me, because you said you wouldn't leave me. You said, I will not leave you, nor forsake you. You've been with me this long, and you brought me this far, and I'm going to continue to trust you. I know you won't leave me. You've been good to me. Listen, but where sin is, the grace of God does much more abound. Listen, let me tell y'all this. This got good to me. I saw the boat on the water, and the water kept rising. And as the water rose, the boat rose. The water could not overtake the boat. Why you say that? Because this tells me that no matter what comes my way, if I stay in the ark of safety, it can't overtake me. As the water rises, the boat will rise. As the water rises, the boat will rise. God won't let nothing overtake me, because I'm his child. I'm going to go up, because I'm in the ark. I'm secure and I'm safe, because I'm walking with the Lord. You can't hurt this. You may kill the body, but you can't touch my soul, because my soul belongs to God. I've committed myself to him. I receive the invitation that God gave to me. And in my conclusion, the trip might have been rough. The rocks and the waves of the boat. Noah might have gotten seasick. Might not have had any of those pills to take that we take now for seasickness. But because he was in the ark, he had safety. That ark that Noah and his family and all those animals were in was safe. The cargo that the ark had was all safe. Maybe rough sailing, but it will be a smooth landing. The landing will be safe. The journey may get rough. We may talk about you real bad. We may even treat you bad. Stay in the ark. Don't get out of the ark. Stay with it. You remember Paul, don't you? When he was on that, and he told him, said, stay with the ship. Stay with the ship. Even don't leave the ship. The ship crashed, get a piece of the ship and hold on to it. Just hang on. Might not be much to hang on. Somebody said, tie a knot at the end of the rope and hang on. Might not have time to tie a knot. Might just hold on. Just hold on and depend on God to make a knot. But if you hold on to part of the ship, stay in the boat. Don't leave the boat. Stay in the ark, because the ark landed safe. God, listen. There was nothing Noah had that was stirring the ark. This satisfied my soul. God can control it. You don't read about no at the end of some boats, you know, they got rudders on them. Wasn't no rudder on the back of the boat. Wasn't no motor. Wasn't no stick that he was guiding it. God was directing it. And what God directs, it's going to come out all right. From the very beginning, God knew where the ark was going to stop. He knew when the rain was going to stop. Is that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights? That's a security I tell my wife, and every time when it get the rain and the flood, I said, thank you, Lord. I said, Crestview might flood, but the whole world will not flood. Because God said he would not do it again. And so, see, there's safety when you stay with God. Doesn't matter how it look outside, but you stay with God. The journey may get rough, but the landing is going to be safe. The landing is going to be safe. Get a whole lot of trouble, and then that's all right. Stay in the ark. There's safety within Christ, and you have to stay there. Noah survived because he believed God and entered into the ark by faith. He trusted in God, and he had faith in him, and he believed. He did just what God said. And listen, this was another piece to me. Noah, I think it's 2 Peter 5 and 7 or somewhere in there, where it's saying Noah preached 120-something years it took him to build that ark. And this is satisfying to me as a pastor and a preacher. Nobody got saved but his family. But Noah preached. But Noah preached. But Noah preached. But Noah preached. Because he told them what thus saith the Lord. This ark is safety. I truly believe the way God is, if somebody else other than Noah's family would have said, I believe and want to come into the ark, he would have allowed them to come. But nobody would come. Nobody would come. But Noah preached. But Noah preached. That's what you have to do. Those people that you keep witnessing to, that just listen and say, yeah, 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 I'm coming, yeah. And then you keep telling them. You may be dead and gone, but they come to Christ. You have told them. You've told them. And that's all you can do. You can't make them. Jesus Christ knew what Judas was going to do when he told him, what you're going to do, do it quickly. He didn't try to stop him. Judas had been around and been with Christ, the master teacher, and he still betrayed him. All you can do is tell them. And Jesus Christ told him, and he lived in front of him. And that's what you have to do. That's a satisfaction you have, that you can't make them. If you make them, then they're not doing it because of their own choice. They ought to have the same choice you had. Did nobody make you? I hope they didn't. If they did, you're not Christ's. Because it's a choice every individual must make for themselves. When you make the decision for yourself, then you'll come to Christ. And after you make that decision for Christ, you still sometime astray. But then that still quiet voice will be wooing you, drawing you, bringing you back to Christ. Because of the commitment that you made. The invitation to a commitment. Christ invites us to make a commitment to him. Not to Macedonian Missionary Baptist Church. Not to Dwight Baggett. Not to the mothers. To him. If you make the commitment to me, somewhere down the line, I'm going to lie to you, deceive you, or do something. Make the commitment to Christ. I could be drawing my last breath right now. If you make the commitment to me, then your commitment may go away. But if you make it to God and I draw my last breath, you'll stay with God. And that's what we need to do. He wants us committed to him. Not to a man or a woman. To him. We need to make that commitment to Christ. He invites us to make a commitment to him. If you have not made that commitment to Christ, this is your time right now to make a commitment to Christ. Will you stand? And if he's calling you,